As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. I have a Bible word dictionary written by a man named Zohadi. And so he has written, it's an amazing book. You can find what all these different words mean. But here's the definition of wrath: utter abhorrence to sin. That sounds good. Mixed with grief for those who live in it. So God hates the sin, but loves the sinner, right? You've heard that many times. So if we look at this verse, I swore in my wrath, in my hatred for sin, but I love you, they shall not enter my rest. So what I see in this verse is a God who is saying, how can I give you up, just like he said in Hosea? But I have to. And it tears me to pieces, my grief. If you look up grief, or if you look up this entering, this is a strong emotion that God has expressed. And many times, I saw this when we lived in Guam, and you see it in other times, some of these people, when they have a person they love dies, what do? They grieve, they wail. And I picture God's love wailing for those who have chosen not to come back to him. Now we need to look back also at Ezekiel. And did you know that the most common phrase in the book of Ezekiel, what do you think it is? The most common phrase in Ezekiel is, then they will know that I am God, or then you will know that I am God. So Ezekiel is saying, I will withdraw myself, and then he pronounces these judgments that are going to happen to the children of Israel or to the nations surrounding them. And then he says, after you see these things happen, then you will know that I am God. And what is his plea? Return to me, and I can return to you and be your God. And you will say, as we saw in the Sabbath school lessons, then they will say, you are my God. And we will say, you are my God. And he will say, and you are my children, and you are my people. And that's what God is looking for. So I've painted a picture here of God withdrawing, but is that the only way that he pronounces judgment, is to withdraw? No, it's not. When you look at the flood, for instance, who caused the floodwaters to come? Was it Satan? No, it was God. How bad was that upheaval? How bad? We are told in Patriarchs and Prophet that even Satan feared for his existence. So God caused that. When you look at the children of Israel coming out of Egypt, and they get to the Red Sea, and they go across the waters on dry land, and then the Egyptians go in, and the waters come back. Did God cause that, or did Satan? God caused that. He destroyed the Egyptian army. You get to the Mount Sinai. Moses goes up and he disappears for over a month. And then the people get antsy and they start worshiping. They have Aaron make an idol. And they come down and Moses is angry, breaks the tables of stone. God is angry. And what happens? People were slaughtered. You look at the story of Korah, Nathan, and Abiram in the Old Testament. There was a rebellion, and certain people said, why do we have to have Moses? God is with us as well. We can be our own people. We don't have to have Moses be our leader. What did God do? This was open rebellion. And the grounds opened up and swallowed those people. And then Aaron and his Levites were told to draw your sword and go through the children of Israel. And they killed 3,000 people. 250 in the core of Dathan and Abiram actually died. And then in another time, when they were burning false incense, they slaughtered 3,000 people. God commanded it. So at times God does execute judgment himself. So now I want to look for the final thing at Jesus. Did Jesus experience God's wrath? Yes, he did. And what was the wrath that he experienced? Did God send fire and burn up Jesus on the cross? No. I want to read a few statements from the Desire of Ages. Desire of Ages. And it's in the chapter called Gethsemane, chapter 75, if you want to look these up later on, and see exactly what Christ experienced. There's a beautiful chapter that's, like I said, the garden, or the Gethsemane is the title of the chapter. Three times it is written, it does mention the wrath of God, pages 685, 686, and 687. Let's see exactly what it is said. And people who quote this often will look at Isaiah, a chapter in Isaiah, which talks about the sword of God and how he pierces the servant, Isaiah 53. So Desire of Ages, page 685, chapter or second paragraph. But now he seemed to be shut out from the light of God, sustaining God's sustaining presence. Now he was numbered with the transgressors. The guilt of fallen humanity he must bear upon him who knew no sin must be laid, the iniquity of us all. So dreadful does sin appear to him, so great is the weight of guilt which he must bear, that he is tempted to fear that it will shut him out forever from his Father's love. Feeling how terrible is the wrath of God against transgression. There it is, God's wrath inflicted on Jesus. He exclaimed, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Page 686, paragraph 2. He felt that by sin he was being separated from his Father. The gulf was so broad, so black, so bleak, so deep, and that his spirit shuddered before it. This agony he must not exert his divine power to escape. As man, he must suffer the consequences of man's sin. As man, he must endure the wrath of God against transgression. As Christ felt his humanity, his unity with the Father broken up. So what is happening here? God is removing his presence, removing it from Jesus. He feared that in his human nature, he would be unable to endure the coming conflict. And as we read, we see that Jesus would have died in the Garden of Gethsemane if an angel hadn't come to strengthen him. Page 687, Christ's soul was filled with dread of separation from God. Satan told him that if he became the surety of the sinful world, the separation would be eternal. Page 687, the sins of men weighed heavily upon Christ, and the sense of God's wrath against sin was crushing out his life. Then one other sentence. Page 693, paragraph 2. Could mortals have viewed the amazement of the angelic host as in silent grief they watched the Father separating his beams of light, love, and glory from his beloved Son, they would better understand how offensive in his sight is sin. So to put these things, another example in the New Testament, it's important to see the New Testament, God's wrath in the New Testament. The story of Ananias and Sapphira, what did they do? They lied to God. They lied to the early church. And what happened? They died on the spot. That was God doing that. It wasn't just a heart attack. To put this together, we see that God honors freedom of choice, even when it is turning against him. He is willing and able to administer punishment and justice when there is rebellion and no hope of repentance and turning back to him. So when we sin, he allows the consequences, and typically these consequences, Satan looks as an opportunity to say, well, you think that it's going to strengthen you, but I'm going to try to keep them away from Christ. So he allows the consequences and warns us about them so that when we see those consequences happen, we return to him to live. He is always willing and ready to forgive us, 2 Peter 3:9, when we repent. So as you look at the title that I put for my talk, I will never leave you unless, you probably wondered, what do you mean by that? I will never leave you nor forsake you unless you abandon me. I will honor your freedom of choice, but I'm going to do everything I can to win you back so that we can be with the Lord forever. So we'll have our closing song, and then I will have closing prayer.
Number 75, the wonder.
Let us bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we are thrilled when we think about your love and what it has actually done for us. You gave up everything, even closeness to your Father. Jesus, you felt God's separation, and you thought you would never, never be reunited. Yet you still did that for us, and we're thankful for that great love. We know that there's many trials and crucibles, if you will, that we will go through. And we know, just like Job and the others in the Sabbath school lesson, Abraham and Isaac and these people, they knew you, and we pray that we may know you. So when these trials come, we will be faithful, just as they were faithful. When all looks bleak and dark, to know that you are in control. You know the end from the beginning, and that as we stay faithful, we will be united with you. We pray for our children and for those who have strayed away, that they will come back and that they will be drawn close to you as well. Thank you for your love. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.